Amen. All right, so our message for today. We're in our Pesach, our Passover days. We're getting ready for Resurrection Day tomorrow, and I like to call it Resurrection Day as opposed to Easter. It kind of helps to clarify us and move us away from the things that the world believes. You know, it's not that they believe in all the bad things, but they kind of throw some strange ideas in there, right? Easter bunnies, eggs, chocolate. And hey, I love my chocolate. I love my chocolate. I just prefer it in a bar or a kiss shape, the Hershey kiss shape, as opposed to an Easter bunny or one of those things. And it's not that we're opposed to celebrating the Resurrection Day, right? Easter has a good idea behind it. So we'll support it as far as that goes. So let me say something off the bat before I even get into my message here, is that over the last few weeks, I've had some conversations with people, and there's a recurring theme. And I'm going to be speaking about that today. And some of you may go, oh, he's talking about me. I'm not talking about any individual person, but I'm talking about accumulation of conversations, different conversations that I've had and that I believe has been going on between people. These are good things and they should continue on. I'm not saying these conversations need to stop. These are the kind of conversations that need to keep going. And they fit in really well with the holiday season that we're in. Because whether Jewish or Gentile, at one time or another, we all have the same thoughts. If Adonai had brought Israel out of Egypt, why did they have to go through so much afterwards? Okay, we can say that first generation that worshipped the golden calf, they deserved what they got. But after that, why couldn't Adonai just make it so much easier for them? Today, what, you know, after we accept Messiah Yeshua as our Savior, after we accept Adonai as being our God, why do we have to go through so much? Why is there always a trial and a trial and a trial? Why can't God make it easier for us? Because we know, and we should tell it to other people as well, that even after we're saved, there are going to be challenges. Every day, it seems. Every day is a challenge. We get challenged by the word, by the world. We get challenged by words, both from believers and unbelievers. We even get challenged by words in our own minds, words that we hear ourselves speaking, doubts and worries. And, you know, there's just constantly going. Why doesn't Adonai just make it easier for us? As we go through these tough times and these tough things and the issues that we have to go through, I've actually seen Adonai, you know, he does one of four things for us. Really, it breaks down to four things that he could do. Four things he could have done for Israel, four things he could do for us. Four things that after we accept blood of Messiah, four things after we accept salvation from Adonai, four things he can do for us. When we're in a hard time, the first thing he can do is a miracle. Bless you. He could just do a miracle. Bam! There goes our issues. There goes our problems. Everything's easy. I mean, we've seen him do things like this. Israel coming out of Egypt, parting the Red Sea, and then closing it in over those who were in pursuit. Bam, a miracle, they're no longer in pursuit. How much easier must that? Can't get any easier than that, right? He could just remove us from the situation. And by that, I just mean death. He could take us to be with him. Why not just pick us up and put us before the throne so that we can praise him eternally and feel His love face to face. Now, Isaiah 57, 1 and 2 says this, "The righteous one perishes, but no one takes it to heart. Godly men are taken away, but no one discerns that the righteous man is taken from evil. He enters into shalom. They rest on their beds, each who walked in his integrity." You know, of course, when we lose someone, it hurts our heart because we're here and they're not any longer. But when we lose someone who's saved, of course, he or she is standing before Adonai. They're taken from this evil world. They no longer feel the pains. They no longer have the persecutions. What a great thing that really is. And that's one of the things that Adonai can do. Just have to remember, that's His decision when that happens. It's not something we can rush at all. So He can miracle, He can remove us from the situation, just like that. He can place someone in our path who's going to help us. So, for example, Moses for the nation of Israel. Just, right? Israel was in slavery. Here comes Moses to do Adonai's bidding for them. And they're saved out of Israel. Moses, by Moses' mighty hand, because Adonai was working through him. Or another example is 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul. People were going to come down and kill him because while he was in Damascus, because King Aretas ordered his death. So what happens? People come about him, protect him, and lower him down in a basket on the other side of the wall so that he can get away. There were people who were very strong looking to kill Shaul. It's a miracle he got out. The miracle were the people that he put about him so that he could escape. So that's the third thing he could do. He could put someone in our path. The fourth thing that Adonai could do, he could just reside with us. He can just be with us as we actually have to go through it. And we've seen this as well in our lives and others' lives. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, Adonai was there as a pillar of fire and cloud. He was always with them. We read this in our Torah portion today, Exodus 13, 17, and 18. After Pharaoh had let the people go, God did not lead them along the road to the land of the Philistines, although that was nearby, for God said the people might change their mind if they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Sea of Reeds, and Bnei Israel went up out of the land of Egypt armed. He got them out, and He stayed with them. He got them out, and He led them. Didn't abandon them. That's Adonai today as well. So there are times, every time we come into something, I know Adonai does one of these four things. And many times it's a combination of them. Because I can honestly say that fourth one, Adonai being with us, always. So regardless of which of the other three he does the fourth one as well. He always stays with us. Even when we need to go through that learning experience, He stays with us while we're going through the troubles. While we're learning, He's still with us, helping us, protecting us, making sure that, hey, you know what? Once you're saved, some think the worst case scenario is death. That's not the worst case scenario as long as you're saved. And that's when he's with us. As long as he's with us, we'll be okay. You know, people think God said we would not have pain. No, he says we won't have pain really in the next world. And his grace and mercy is he'll make sure that as long as we trust in him, we will get to for his throne. That's his love and mercy. His love and mercy is also that he helps us, though. When the nation of Israel came out, they appeared to have accepted Adonai. Why did they fall in the desert then? They didn't fully embrace salvation as a continuing process, right? They lost sight of Moses, and because they lost sight of Moses, they lost sight of Adonai himself. Faith is knowing Adonai is Adonai even in the hard times. Those hard times, the times of testing. And we all go, yeah, but why do I need to go through a test? Doesn't Adonai already know my heart? Why is he testing me? He's not testing you so that he would find out about your heart. He's testing you so you'll find out about your heart. He's testing you to make sure that you know if you have faith. That's really quite a piece of love on his part. Because he could let you walk around fooled, tricked by your own heart. And when the final time comes, you can say, Adonai, wasn't I walking with you? Wasn't I with you the whole time you were doing miracles? And he'll say, it's possible your heart was so fooled, he'll say, gone, I don't know you. So the testing is so that we'll continue to walk in his ways, so that we'll know our own hearts, so that we'll know our own heart attitude. You know, over the last year, have we not been stressed? Has the world not gone through so much? With this coronavirus and the stresses, it's like brought to a boil and things boil up to the surface. People that we thought were one way sometimes look another way. All of a sudden, things are happening around us. Thoughts and attitudes about in other people and even in ourselves start boiling up. We may not have even known they were within us. But once the heat's turned up, things that we didn't even know in us start boiling up. That's the dross. Right? That's how things get purified. How do they purify metal? They heat it up. They melt it. They turn up the heat until it's just like a puddle. And what happens? The dross, the impurities rise to the top. That's what our testing does to us as well. That's what we go through. So that dross gets risen to the top. And what does that dross look like? Well, here's a list in the Old Covenant in Proverbs. Proverbs 6:16. Six things Adonai hates. Yes, seven are abominations to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that plots wicked schemes, feet that run to evil, a false witness who spouts lies, and one who stirs up strife among the brothers. It's quite the list. But wait, there's more, as they say. Because the New Covenant has another list. It doesn't negate the first list of the Old Covenant, just like the New Covenant doesn't negate the words of the Old Covenant. It just supplements, it adds, it clarifies. So here's the list Rav Shaul comes up with in 1 Corinthians 6:9. Or don't you know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. The sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, those who practice homosexuality, thieves, the greedy, drunkards, slanderers, swindlers, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Between these two, that is quite the list. Between these two, we probably see some of it within ourselves. Now it's easy to go and look at other people and see things. That's not what we're called to do, though. We're called to examine our own hearts. No one ever says, go look at their heart and tell them what's wrong. Really doesn't say that. But it does call for us to examine our own hearts. And when we do, we'll probably see some of these things within us, if we're honest. And I'm not saying that all these sins are within us, but some of these sins are within us. Our flesh tends to hold on to the sins of the world. It's up to us to deal with them when we see them. Now, there are two ways of dealing with it. This dross that gets boiled up to the surface. Well, maybe two ways. Because the best really is not to allow it within us. But, you know, that's really impossible. We're flesh. Anyone who thinks that they can go through life without sinning is lying to themselves and lying to the Lord. We all know this. It's just no way of doing it. But we do it the best we can. We cleanse ourselves the best we can. And then we go to the Lord and ask Him to cleanse us the rest of the way. We ask the Ruach HaKodesh, skim off that dross as we go through these testing times. While we're being heated, melted, Lord, help me recognize the dross and then skim it away from me. Then what do? Then we need to be humble. Then we need to go and ask for forgiveness, perhaps to the person that we've hurt, the person who our words have hurt, our actions have hurt. These items listed in the Old and the New Covenant are a fruit of the Spirit, but they're not the fruit of the Spirit that we want. They're the fruit of a bad spirit, and we will have to come against them occasionally. Even when they hide in our hearts, we have to ferret them out. We have to let the world heat us up. Let the Lord heat us up so that the dross comes to the top and can be skimmed away. So how do we gain the good fruit? How do we gain the fruit of the Ruach HaKodesh from the Lord? Now here there are really two answers. First, be with Yeshua by allowing the Ruach to abide within us. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. When we live as he desires us to live, we can start ridding ourselves of that bad fruit, of that dross. When we allow him in, he'll do that little heating up, getting the dross to the surface, and then skimming it off. But the only way to do that is to be part of Him, not apart from Him. We have to be one with Him. We have to allow Him in and allow Him to do the work, even when it's uncomfortable. That's what we need to do. Then we start seeing the fruit more and more in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit that He wants within us. The fruit of the Spirit that is described in Galatians 5. Starting in verse 22 of Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Ruach is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Messiah have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We've crucified the flesh. That could be said, we've boiled it up, the dross has risen, and we've cut that dross off. That's the first thing. The second is we just need to totally rely on Him. What does that mean? That means not holding on to your troubles. In other words, don't be anxious and don't worry about anything. This is what Rav Shaul tells us in Philippians. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the shalom of God, which suppresses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Messiah Yeshua. Oh, if it's that simple, let's all go home. Right? It is that simple, but it's that hard as well. We're told the shalom of Adonai will guard our heart, will guard our mind when we've given the burdens up to Him. We're to place them before the foot of His throne, open our hands, and not hold on to those issues any longer. Then after praising and thanking Him and making our request known, then what do? We keep our hands open and walk away. Don't go grabbing those issues again. That's the hard part. Those issues have become such a part of us, we want to take them back with us. We need to leave them there. It's what Yeshua said about our burdens, that we carry them around with us. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said He will give us rest from our burden. And He will when we take up His yoke. This is what I believe I can say. If you come to Him with a burden, you come to Him with a burden, and you want to take up His yoke, you've got to put that burden down first, because you're not strong enough to carry your burden and His yoke at the same time. That's why you came to Him, because there's so much on your shoulders already that you can't take another thing, including His yoke, which is light and easy. You need to let go of that burden, that yoke that you're already carrying. Even though His yoke is light and easy, you can't do both at the same time. So allow me to circle back to the four things that Adonai can do for us when we come to Him with a problem, right? We said He can do a miracle. He can bring someone to you. He can remove you from the world. Or He can just be with you through it. Now, many times, regardless, He'll always do, like I said, He'll always do the right thing in our situation. Regardless of what we think the right thing is, He'll always do the right thing. And just in time. It may feel like we're being crushed by the weight. But we have to do what's right in His eyes. Sometimes it's walking through with that burden until we can drop it. You know, it's looking for what Adonai is doing for us. And that's sometimes the problem. People are looking to see, what are you doing for me, Adonai, right now? So the question is, do we have a long-term vision of Adonai or a short-term vision of Adonai? Because if you're asking, Adonai, what are you doing for me right now? I'm going through this. How are you going to help me right now? That's a short-term vision of Adonai. And it's the wrong question to ask, obviously. So what's the right question to ask? Well, let's take a look at something first. Well, now let's ask the question first. What the heck? The real question to ask is, what are we doing in Adonai? Not what is Adonai doing for us, but what are we doing in Adonai? Because when we read Matthew 25, it's the parable of the sheep and the goats. And it says in that parable that there's a king and he's going to be separating the sheep and the goats. And it says this, starting in verse 35. The king, it says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And then what happens next is the people ask, "When did we do all this?" And Matthew 25:40 says, "And answering, the king said to them, 'Amen, I tell you, whatever you did to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did to me.'" Adonai knows we're going through trials and tribulations, and yet he still says we should be doing for others. When he's separating the sheep and the goats, it's how does he separate them? For those who did and those who didn't. Because when you did for others, it's doing for him. When you didn't do anything, you didn't do anything for him. So we need to retain our focus. And the focus is, what am I doing for Adonai? Not what is he doing for me. What am I doing for Adonai? We already know he's given us everything. So we don't even have to really look at that. But what are we doing? Are we a sheep or a goat? Which side is he putting us on? And we may not be able to solve the world's problems. You know, we can't hand out salvation. We can lead them to it. We can't hand it out. But we can be his hands and feet. We can be his mouth to speak the good news to the lost and dying. That's what we're called to do. That's what's going to decide. What are your physical doings and what did you speak? That's going to decide whether you're a sheep or a goat. Left or right. As we come through this season, we are so thankful for what Adonai has brought, that he's brought us out of bondage from Egypt, that by the same blood that was used in the Passover on the doorposts and the lentil saves us. That's the blood of the Passover lamb, who now is Messiah Yeshua. We should look and praise him and lift our hands up to him But to lift our hands up fully, we need to place the burdens that we're holding down at the foot of His throne first. Then we'll be able to take up His yoke. Then we'll be able to do for Him. So we here at Karen Orr are about to open up Messiah's Manna. We've spoken a little bit about that. It's a food bank to help the community with food insecurity. That's the right terminology as I understand it. Food insecurity now. Okay. We're a small congregation. But even as a small congregation, we can join with others who are helping. We won't solve hunger in the world. We won't solve hunger even in this community. But by joining with others, we will help to bring it to a better place than what it currently is for many families. Just, you know, even if we only help within a few miles of the building, that's Adonai's plan for us. And that's fine. If He explodes it to something bigger, we'll see what happens. But that'll be His plan for us as well. So tomorrow, the first Sunday of the month, from 1 to 4, we'll open our doors and we'll give out the food that's back there. You've seen it back there for a little while now. Now it's time to get it out of the building. It's our plan to partner with America's Second Harvest to give out food on the first Sunday of each month. And there are a couple of ways that people will be able to help us. We need some physical laborers in the field, some people who we need in the building to help us. And we'll talk more about that. We are going to have a meeting after service today. So as I said, grab some matzah, grab a cup of coffee, find the table that Rebbeson is sitting at, and join us, and we'll talk it over. They have some things that need to be done at Second Harvest for record keeping and stuff like that. So we'll get that all squared away. Now, we don't need a lot of people, but we do need some people to help us through this. If you'd like to participate, as I say, come and see us. And then next week, we'll also have a meeting after service. And that one will be a little more in depth, and that will be a little bit longer. And that one will probably be after Torah for today, as opposed to today, which will be before Torah for today. Oh, no, excuse me. That one will be Sunday. That'll be Sunday on the 11th. We'll have that meeting Sunday at 1 o'clock. So plan on being there for that. For those who can't make it on Sundays to help us here in the physical, we still have a financial need. You can either donate food. We've had some offers for that already. Or you can donate financially. Because the way we're going to be bringing this about is through the rabbi's discretionary fund. So you can donate to that. So when you're here in the sanctuary, when we're taking up our offering, you can write on your donations, on your tithes and offering envelope, this amount goes to the rabbi's discretionary fund. This amount goes to Messiah's Manor or Food Bank or anything that so that I'll understand where it's going to. And that those funds will go. Because what mostly will happen is we're going to be buying food from America's Second Harvest. Greatly, greatly discounted. Pennies on a dollar. But we still need to do that. So we need your help there as well. And let me just say, first of all, those at home on live stream, at any time you can go to our website. And just like you can go to shalomsavannah.com and find that give header and click on that. And in the comments, just put that it's for Messiah's Mandate Food Bank, whatever you rabbi's discretionary fund, however you want to write it out. We've had some of that already. We greatly appreciate that. But what I'm going to ask is, This is not to come out of your tithes and offerings. This is an above and beyond tithes and offerings. This is a giving of an offering, not a tithe. Okay? So this is exciting times because now we get to live out what Scripture says. Now we get to live out on the decision of, are we a sheep or are we a goat? Now we get to be the hands and feet of Adonai, of Yeshua. Now we get to go out into the community. Let them know that they can come in for food. Think of the number of children that will be helping. Think of the number of families that will be helping. I think it's extremely exciting. And what are we doing? We are living out Passover because we're going to be setting people free from bondage, of hunger, and possibly even spiritual bondage, because although we can't speak to them before they get their food, we can speak and pray to them afterwards. We can set up a table and say, would you like prayer? And they can come over and we can pray for them. We just can't do it before the food, so it doesn't seem like it's a way of getting the food. It can't be conditional. Yeah. Can't be conditional. You have to listen to a salvation message in order to get food. Can't do that. But we can say afterwards, do you know the love of the Lord? Can we pray for you? And we will be. So we'll have a table set up afterwards. So be excited. Come and be involved. This is what the Lord's calling us to do at Karen Orr, I believe. So that's what we'll be doing. Father, we thank you. You have a plan for Karen Orr and for every heart who's here. Here on the live stream, here in person. Ruach, we thank you that by the blood of Messiah, who is our Passover lamb, you've helped to set us free from our sins. And it was shown to us in the Passover story before that you have a plan and how to set us free through the blood. And it's shown to us afterwards, even today, by the blood of Messiah Yeshua, you set us free from the bondage of sin. And through all of that, your desire is that our burdens would be placed at the foot of your throne, that we'd pick up your yoke, which is light and easy, so that we may do for you. So that we may get through life even easier than we do. So Ruach, clarify our vision so that we can see your works in our life today. As clearly as we see your works as Israel was coming out of Egypt. As clearly as we could see your works as Messiah hung on the execution stake. Help us to see your works in our life today. We thank you that you never leave us. We understand that it is your choice on how we on how the issues before us get resolved. Miracle, someone stepping into our life, giving us abilities while you're still with us. Even sometimes death, although we ask not too soon, because I feel like we all have things to do still here, speaking out your word, doing your works. But we know your timing is perfect. So we ask, Ruach HaKodesh, show us the path we're to walk on every single day. We thank you that we can lay the burden down the foot of your throne. We just praise you and thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.